Astro Aluani.
Assalamualaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh dan salam sejahtera. Yang berhormat, yang berhormat, tetamu kehormat, pihak penganjur, rakan-rakan saya muliakan. Saya ucapkan syukur kepada Allah dan setinggi penghargaan atas kesempatan yang diberikan, dan dia juga berikan sedikit ruang bernafas keluar dari Port Dickson. Dan saya percaya bukan saja peserta tetapi seluruh negara memerhati dengan dari dekat pandangan yang diutarakan untuk merangka ekonomi dan kekuatan pertumbuhan ekonomi masa depan. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, our economy in our country is transformed. But even as we celebrate our achievements, we need to remember these wise words. There's nothing stable in human affairs. So we should not be too complacent in our victories or too discouraged in our defeat. That our country fell victim to corruption, negligence, downright banditry on such a vast scale in more recent times should serve as a reminder that our work to achieve a prosperous and just Malaysia is just beginning. So when we talk about a new dawn, we are not talking about new targets. We are asking more fundamental questions about what kind of country that we want to create for future generation of Malaysians. We will set priorities not based on narrow economic calculus, but on the values and shared vision for the future that has motivated Malaysians since independence. To build an economy that delivers prosperity for all, that can sustain an open, inclusive society that is multicultural, multi-ethnic, multi-faith. An economy that offers all citizens an opportunity to realize their full potential, to contribute as much as possible to the society that nurtured them. In past few speeches in international conferences, I made reference to this period of post-normal times. And it is all pertinent reminder to political leaders as much as economics and economic planners that some development are unprecedented, and the pace of change and spontaneity of these diverse changes demand not only confidence but also humility. Humility to acknowledge our limitations and humility to accept that we do not have the expertise and answers to all problems. I would like to refer, therefore, and share some of the concerns of Malaysians, which is at times, based on my limited experience, both in government and the opposition and the prison, largely ignored by planners. In the last week or so, I spent most of my time in Port Dickson, known to be an attractive destination for tourists or tourist industry. But the stark reality remains that here is a microcosm of Malaysia, or Malaysian nation. You have dilapidated buildings. You have, you notice abject poverty in the midst of plenty. Traditional fishing villages. I visit two Malay traditional fishing villages, downtrodden, poor, and amazingly, two Chinese fishing villages, clearly under this poverty trap. Of course, not to say the plight of the Indian estate workers. Much that I'm familiar to the surroundings in Malaysia, I was also taken by surprise. We talk about poverty and inequality, now popularized by Piketty, although articulated much earlier by Galbraith, Rawls, Sachs, and others. But to my mind, in crafting an economic program or policy of the future of this country, we must ensure that no community, no region should be neglected. That is why I have been pressing on since 2007 to call on the then government, and of course it has become part and parcel of the Pakatan Harapan government, to dismantle what I consider as the obsolete new economic policy, and to chart, having the courage and the tenacity to chart a new paradigm, a new policy. Affirmative action must be vigorously promoted based on need. We cannot talk about propelling the economy and condoning the sheer atrocities inflicted on the poor and marginalized communities. Again, the approach has got to be courageous, because this is a clear departure from what the policies crafted in the past may be true and relevant in the context of the past, but I don't think in this age we need to pursue a policy which is not, cannot be defensible in terms of freedom, justice, and equity. So every individual, region, community needs to take an active role in reviewing our political institutions and practices. Our democracy has to be mature to the point that the public is no longer blind, considered as blind followers. Renewal at home also presents us with an opportunity to renew our international partnership. Malaysia has achieved prosperity on the basis of a deep international economic integration, especially with our neighbors, and by responding flexibly to changing global conditions. Malaysia will not be dragged into exclusionary blocks and groupings, nor will we tolerate factionalism and division without ASEAN. This is a matter of common sense. ASEAN's record of job creation, poverty reduction, and improvements to living standards is second to none. And these achievements are due to, in large part, to deeper regional integration and our integration into global production and trading networks. Some of us allude to the experiences of the past in the 90s, but mind you, Malaysia could only excel if it's considered committed to pro-market reforms. Has to be vigilant and continue to attract domestic and international foreign direct investments. Having said that, we need to create an environment that will be attractive. We have to dismantle restrictive, protective policies. Although we have to bear in mind, national interest is paramount, not the interests of factions or vested interest groups. We achieved some level of success primarily because we were committed to these policies. And I don't think we should revert to the excesses of the past, but to continue to chart and formulate a policy, continue to be vigilant to see what neighbors have achieved and continue to embark on more proactive reforms. There are, of course, concerns when I say this, because some of us see this opening up raw market reforms at the expense of a large segment of the Malays or Bumiputras. And, of course, some suggest that the country may suffer, particularly the marginalized and the poor. I'm therefore make it very clear that my view, my take on this is we cannot propel economic growth without making Malaysia thrive with foreign direct investments. Investments means, this such a policy would warrant an inclusive, clear, transparent policy. But this does not mean that we should neglect the plight of the poor, the marginalized. It's not a zero-sum game. If we choose to embark on a pro-market reform arrangement, it should not be an excessive capitalistic notion ignoring the plight of the poor and the marginalized. I do not believe that in the long term, politically is sustainable if we choose to take that route. This I need to emphasize because many of us here in Kuala Lumpur, among the elites, are completely oblivious to the stark realities surrounding us when we talk about poverty and gross inequality. So it's not actually it's not a matter of poor governance, but also irresponsible bunch of elites that we represent because of our utter failure to recognize the stark demands and realities in our society. Economic inequities and social disparities were everywhere evident, but the public discourse on these problems has been superficial, too quick to retreat to sloganeering and parochialism when what is needed is analysis and dialogue. The danger is that unmet expectations and rising frustration will fuel intolerance, which will only exacerbate the problems that we need to work together to resolve. We must confront inequality at its source and learn the lessons from our own history. Young people of all races and religions want a fair chance to make the most of their God-given talents and capacities They are ready to work hard, and they do not want government handouts. Affirmative action policies in education and employment will naturally play an important role in sharing opportunities widely across all religions, social strata and groups, combined with a renewed emphasis on job creation. These policies will help break down the barriers that are the source of such frustration today. You can see these contradiction in such a dialogues that we observe. One group would promote meritocracy at all cost, And the other would then propound an idea that we must allow those poor, marginalized, or in the old narrative, based on race. I think we need to take stock of the stark realities of today, that we cannot ignore meritocracy if we want to succeed. The best, the most talented, must be propped up and supported at all cost for us to be able to compete and achieve par excellence. But the poor and the marginalized must be assisted with all means at our disposal to make sure that they are not deprived of opportunities. I'm reminded of what John Rawls, when he refers to the notion of justice. Justice is ultimately fairness. You cannot claim to be just, promoting meritocracy, which is a must, but ignore the simple fact that many of us who have been treated unfairly should and must be given equal opportunities. Now, this, I think, the brilliance of our public servants in the past in coining this notion of growth with equity. And I would add on, when we tend to craft our policies, we must not take this absurd view that we are against meritocracy primarily because we think a large sector of our population, particularly the Malays, cannot compete. To me, as a Malay, it's an insult to my race if you think that we cannot compete. But at the same time, based on need, I don't believe that we can compromise on the notion of affirmative action for all. Because I've seen, and some, since we have a few days left, some of you should join me to Port Dickson and see for yourself what I'm trying to drive out. Because the issue of abject poverty, of lack of opportunities, they actually transcend race. We can, by sheer numbers, probably the Malays have more problems, but clearly the issue of poverty and inequality is not a notion that affects a particular race. And I think the sooner we Malaysians acknowledge that, the better is it for the country as a whole to be deemed as more inclusive and more dynamic in our views and policies. Therefore, we must confront inequality at its source and learn the lessons from our own history. Social protection and poverty eradication programs remain central to the government's efforts to achieve a better life and society for all. You know, Saudara Lim Guan Eng wouldn't be too excited about this because he has to grapple with the finances of this country. I don't envy him. I'm happy to say that I'm not the finance minister today. Now, transparency and public participation are the keys to effectiveness and efficiency in the social programs as in the rest of the government. Greater public involvement and enhanced scrutiny will identify dubious programs, reduce duplication, hence waste of resources. We must avoid the pitfalls of many developing countries, which includes Malaysia in the past, where programs for the poor are many in number and generously funded but have not achieved the results. This is a standing joke about our past performance. You talk about a problem, there is an institution to answer it. Ikan, Maju Ikan. Later became LKIM. Ternak, Maju Ternak. Then hundreds of others, I can't recall right now. But the solution is in the setting of institutions. Then we set up the institution, staff, and one of the first major programs, I recall RISDA, when I was very young, criticizing the program. This is smallholders. And they began by constructing an impressive headquarters in Kuala Lumpur. So I think these experiences must be shared so that we do not repeat the excesses of the past. Now, the victory of Pakatan Harapan in GE14 was a triumph of vision, not one of demographics. The unemployment and the underemployment rate among recent graduates are one of the major factors that contributed to the strong support we have from the younger generations. We have to create a new generation of thinking, questioning, reasoning young people, adaptable, flexible, able to become entrepreneurs and pioneers. They have to take the country beyond the next threshold to another dawn. Malaysia is, and I reiterate, has been and will be an open economy. Trading with the world, we are situated with the two powerhouses of the future world economy. Economists now argue that the global economy is returning to its primal pattern, with China and India as the prime engines of global growth. Western dominance then become a temporary blip, or some blip. And yet it is clear that relations between the developed economies of the West and China in particular are far from straightforward and likely to engulf us in all if wiser counsels are not heeded. As I have said and reiterated, we have a long history of trading relations with China and India, and we must ensure that this economic trading investment relationship with India and China be further enhanced. We cannot aim to be the best if we ignore how the global economy is changing. There is demand across the globe for environmentally sustainable development. Malaysia lags behind in acknowledging the potency and importance of the green economy. We can sell oil to gas guzzlers, but we should be planning for future economics of low carbon emissions. The green economy is not about tree hugging, but new ways of powering, manufacturing, and sustaining human society into the future. It is about water management, waste management, new products, and already quietly without being noticed, the green economy is more productive, more profitable, and more sustainable than conventional sectors. Companies that go green in the broadest sense of the term become more productive than their non-green rivals. A sustainable economy is not one driven mainly by consumer spending, fueled by high levels of household debt. An important explanation for this situation is the increasing disparity of incomes. We are not immune from the negative effects of the global crisis. We have not created enough good jobs, and we have relied too heavily on debt to paper over rising social disparities. We cannot build a better life for our people if they need two or three jobs just to make ends meet. It is bad economics. It is even worse social policy. But the answer rests again in the charting of economic policy, which the finance minister and the cabinet is to be focused on to ensure that Malaysia becomes an attractive destination yet again, but that would warrant some major reforms, major changes, beginning with clear transparency and accountability. It is therefore necessary for the removal of patronage and special protection so that all of us, the government, the business sector, and the investor community, all have a skin in the game to reconfigure our relationship to rebuild the economy. It has to be back to the old tax references, back to the need to encourage the private sector and for the public sector government companies to reduce its interest and scope. These are, of course, general views. I'm not in the cabinet, neither I am holding any position in the government. I'm just speaking out of my free will. I'm rejoicing it. I'm a free man at last. So my cabinet colleagues who are present here too should be bear with me for a while. After all, rarely do I take a forum such as this in Malaysia. I do speak all over the world. This is one rare occasion that I'm able to speak here today. Thank you very much. But I'm a great optimist. You know me as an incorrigible optimist. And I believe that with good governance, with clear economic policies, with private sector driven, but lots of care and compassion, we can fulfill the promise of Malaysia's new dawn. We can create opportunities for all Malaysians, regardless of region, race, and religion. We can open up pathways of self-realization for our young people. We can use our natural resources with sustainability for the benefit of all the people. We can renew our policies and society through transparency and wider public participation. We can ensure that our national prosperity is shared with the less fortunate among us. The success is certainly not straightforward. It is not a given situation. Malaysia's new dawn is an opportunity for us to bring back integrity, responsibility, and accountability to government and to restructure the relationship between the government and the people, relying more on participation and active involvement on the people. It will require commitment, dedication. Again, as I said earlier, referring to Tun Mahathir's courage and tenacity, inclusiveness, and a lot of hard work by everyone to achieve the bright new day, I believe, awaits us. Terima kasih banyak.